It's good to be a child of the King, all right?
Yes,
it
amen.
Is good to be a child of the King. We're glad you're here this morning. I want you to take your Bible, if you would, to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. I've been preaching now for like, 3 months on some of the great questions that are found in the Word of God. And this morning, we're going to deviate from that and interrupt that. And instead of preaching from a great question, I want to ask you a question, all right? Just want to ask you a question today. And so if you'll look with us there in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1, the Bible says, "Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars." I want you to notice that first phrase, if you will, "Wisdom hath builded her house." Now, we celebrate Father's Day today and also coupling in with Mother's Day. And, hey, let's just make it Family Day, all right? And we'll just kind of celebrate all of it. And I'll be honest with you, I'm convinced that the reason our nation and even our world is in such a mess is not really because of politics. It's not because of liberal loonies. It's not that. I believe it's because the two institutions the Lord put on this earth have been in many ways ignored.
Yes, sir.
And definitely neglected, and in a lot of ways have been altered.
Right.
And that has left us in a terrible predicament. You say, what are you talking about? Those two institutions I'm talking about is the local New Testament church and the family. The family. That those two have stood as the foundation of society, and when you mess with them, you mess up all of society. And that's exactly what we see going on today. Now, I'm not going to preach on how we've messed up the local church. I might do it another time. We're not going to do it this morning, but I want to talk to you this morning about your house. I want to ask you, is wisdom building your house? Is wisdom building your house? Wisdom hath builded her house, but is wisdom building your house? All right? Your house. I want to offer you some help, okay, for your home. All right? I want to offer some help. It's amazing to me that when people build they want to build the structure that they live in, how much planning can go into it. Man, people will go over and they'll want this detail and that detail. And if you're building from the ground up, you know, and you've got a builder, and people say, well, I want this many bathrooms, I want this many bedrooms, and I want it laid out just this way, and I want each room to be just this big, and I want, in the master bathroom, we want to have two sinks, and, we want to do this, we want to do that. We got it all planned out. But boy, when it seems like come to putting a home together, it just kind of haphazard. We don't even think about it. It's just sort of thrown together without any real thought, without any real planning. And I'll be honest with you, I think it shows. I think that shows. If I was starting over, I'd want to be sure that I planned that thing, okay? I'd want to be sure I had a lot of it planned out. So I want to talk to you about it. Is wisdom building your home? Is wisdom building your house today? Just a few things I want to show. If wisdom is building your home, wisdom's going to put in the right foundation. Wisdom is going to put in the best foundation you can get. Over in Matthew chapter 7, the wise man, the Bible says, built his house upon a rock. Man, when I grew up as a kid, we sang that song, "The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came tumbling down." You know, the rains came down, the floods came up, and the house on the rock stood firm. But the foolish man built his house upon the sand. And boy, when the rains came and the floods came, it washed that thing out, and it went smash, all right? It was destroyed. The worst thing you can do, and we have trouble with that in North Texas. If I were to ask how many of you here have had to have foundation work, hey, man, we've had to have foundation work done on the school twice, all right? Different, now, not the same part, all right, but different parts of the school. You drive around, you see them digging around homes, and you know they're having foundation work done. Why? Because they don't put down a good enough foundation. They don't. The builder is thinking about selling this home. And he's thinking about making the most money he can out of selling that home. So he doesn't do everything he could and should, putting down the foundation. But I'll tell you, if you're building your home, you better make sure you got the right foundation. I say it ought to be built on the rock. And the Bible tells us over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Man, your home ought to be built on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because storm's going to come. Storm's going to come. There's some of you folks, how many of you here been married more than 50 years? You are married or were married for 50 years or more. All right? There's a couple there. There's some there. Right here. Three. All right? Three. Over 50 years. Can I say this to you? That's not accidental.
No, sir.
By the way, they're not married that long because everything's been hunky-dory. They're not. They haven't been married 50 years because they never had a problem, right? Never had a fight. Now, don't start looking at each other now, okay? Hey, you've gone through some storms if you've survived 50 years. Hey, I'll tell you this. You want your home to survive. You want it to last. Needs a good foundation. It needs to be the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, how in the world can we make that home? First of all, I'll say this. That demands the salvation of the people involved. You want the best success? Mom and dad need to be born again.
Amen.
Need to be born again. If you want a good chance of success, mom and dad both need to be saved. Amen. They need to know the Lord is their personal Savior. But really and truly, if you're saved, you got no business marrying somebody that's not saved.
Amen.
Now you say, preacher, why are you prejudiced? No, I'm just telling you what the Bible says.
Amen.
The Bible says that you're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers.
Right.
Doesn't mean we hate anybody that's lost. No, we love them, want them to get saved. But you want success, man. Mom and dad both need to be born again. They need to be saved. They need to be saved. They need to know they're saved. But not just that. They need a relationship with that Savior. They need a relationship. I mean a good relationship with Him. Because you're going to face some storms. You're going to face some storms. You can count on it. Our theme this year is anchored. Anchored. That's the reason for this picture. That's the reason I preached to you for two solid months on being anchored. I had no idea we were going to face this year what we faced. But man, I see the hand of God in me preaching to you on being anchored. Look, your home needs to be anchored on that foundation of Jesus Christ. And mom and dad need to be saved. Hey, when the kids come along, you know what that means? That means that there ought to be prayer about that child being saved. That child being saved. You've got a child coming, all right? Heidi's sister's here, Heather. It's good to have Heather and Brandon today, by the way. Didn't say anything about it. Wasn't ignoring you. We're glad you're here, all right? And she's going to have a child this week, right? And she's going to have a baby this week, one way or the other, okay? So that baby is going to be born. And so they're excited about it, looking forward to it. I'll tell you what, if you're having a child, you know what you ought to pray? You ought to pray two things. Lord, give me a healthy child. If you just give me a healthy child. Man, I didn't care if it was a boy or a girl.
No, sir.
That was a mistake. But, no, I was kidding. I didn't care if it was a boy or a girl, all right, but I wanted a healthy child. But I'll tell you the second thing I prayed.
Yes,
I pray, Lord, help them to get saved as early as possible. I want my children to know the Lord is their Savior. I want them to be born again. As soon as they get to that point where they can grasp the truth of the gospel and understand it, I want them to be saved. Man, I'd pray towards that end. I'll tell you this, in a home that's got that foundation, you ought to put the practice of it. Everything you do ought to be towards seeing to it the family saved and safe on the rock, okay? And the patterns in the home, the habits, everything there ought to point people to Jesus Christ. Why? Because you want a good foundation.
Amen.
Wisdom lays the best foundation. Best foundation. But not only that, wisdom walls it in with the Word of God. Wisdom walls it in with the Word of God. You say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Hey, that means Bible truth decides what comes in your home.
Right.
Or what doesn't come in your home. You know, a lot of homes get destroyed because of what we allow in. If we wouldn't allow those things in, they wouldn't get destroyed. It just wouldn't happen. Now, you know, we talk about, you know, there's a big argument in our country about a wall, right? I'm not worried about that wall, but I am worried about that wall around your home. Wisdom walls that home in with the Word of God. The Word of God, Bible principles, need to completely guide our lives. It ought to guide what happens in our home, what comes in our home. There's people that I would not allow in my home. There are people, you say, preacher, why? Because I know what they are. And I wouldn't allow in my home. I wouldn't allow men. My wife and I, we were married several years before we had children. And we had a fellow that was a friend of mine that lived with us for a few days because he had lost his job. He was looking for circumstances. And he was a friend of mine, and we allowed him to stay with us a few days. I'm not sure I would have allowed him to stay with us had I've had children. He said, why not? Because we want to protect them. Listen, Bible principles ought to guide our lives. Bible principles ought to determine what we allow in. Hey, the problem is, you know, it ought to be what thus saith the Lord. That's what should guide our home. Too much of the world is brought in. Be honest with you, too much of the world is brought in, and most of this is left out in most homes. I'm talking about most homes where people profess to be saved. We allow the world in, but we keep this out. We just do it. I mean, you think about it. It's amazing to me. We know all the popular songs. We can sing the words of all the popular songs. When I was a kid, we rode the bus. My brother and I, we moved to Florida. We rode the bus to about 5 miles or so into Alva. And that's where the school was we went to. We lived way out in the sticks. And we'd ride the bus in. And the kids on that bus, especially the girls, sang. And we'd be sitting on the bus and they'd start singing, okay? And they'd sing, around the world I searched for you. I traveled on. The guys are going, but anyway, you know what I'm saying. They were singing, and they knew the words. I'd never heard the song. Never heard the word. And they sang Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Oh, whoopee. All right. And man, listen, I can sing Around the World I Searched for You because I learned it on that bus. I know the words to Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Why? I learned it on that bus. There's some other songs that I won't sing because they're not appropriate for church. Now, they're not filthy. Don't misunderstand me, but they're not appropriate. Well, where'd you get them? On the bus. We were there. We heard them, okay? And they'd sing them every day, all right? They were searching around the world every day, all right? So, we just learned them, all right? But it's amazing to me we know the words to all the popular songs. Hey, we can talk to everybody about all the popular movies. We've seen all those popular movies. Hey, we can get them on our TV in our house nowadays, all right? They're there. They're there. We know all the popular people. That's the ones we're constantly talking about, you know, the Kardashians and the whoever's, because I don't know who they are, because I really don't care, all right? But, man, people, we know all of that. But I'm amazed. I'm amazed the Word of God is gathering dust on the shelf or on a table somewhere. We can quote the lines to the movies. We can sing the songs of the world. But if we had to quote a Bible verse and give you where it was in the Word of God, it'd mean death, all right? If it was life or death and you had to quote a Bible verse and give the chapter and the verse where you found it, I know everybody would go, Jesus wept. Yeah, but you don't know where it's at. All right? Hey, I'm just telling you, we have the world in our home, but not the Word. Listen, wisdom builds our house. Wisdom puts in the best foundation. Wisdom walls it in with the Word of God. I'm just going to be careful what I allow in my house. It's going to be Bible principle. We're not going to allow just anything and everything in our home. We're not going to do it. You said, how far are you going? Take your Bible, Psalms 119, would you? Psalms 119, just a few verses here I want to read to you. Real quickly, longest chapter in the Bible. Psalms 119, verse 11, Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Look, if you will, at verse 28. Verse 28, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Look at verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Look at verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Look at verse 101. Verse 101, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this, boy. If you just get a hold of the word of God, it'll help you that you'll not sin. It'll help you, man, that you can have strength. You can have strength that you need. It will help you, and it will just, it'll keep you straight in life, all right? Keep you straight in life. It'll keep you away from evil. Hey, you want to build your house. You want to build wisdom or to be what you build your house with. If you do, it'll wall it in with the word of God. But that's not all. Number three, I want you to see this. Wisdom furnishes your home with love. Amen. Wisdom will furnish your home with love. Hey, listen, mom and dad ought to be in love. Mom and dad ought to be in love. Preacher. They wouldn't be mom and dad if they weren't in love. Sometimes I can't tell it.
Come on, brother. Yes, sir.
You ought to be in love.
Right.
And you ought to determine, can I just say this? You ought to determine to stay in love.
Amen. Yes,
determine to stay in love. These three that here, Mrs. Noble's husband's passed away, but these three couples and Ms. Noble, don't you believe for a minute that they didn't get mad at each other somewhere after they said, I do? Some people get mad the day they say, I do, but we won't go on to that. There's been anger, but you know what? I believe this. They decided we're going to stay in love. We're going to stay in love. 39 years ago, I stood here and my bride walked down the aisle and I said, I do. I decided then I'm going to love her.
Sure.
I'm going to love her. Now, I thought I was in love with her when I married her. But later on, love really grew.
Amen.
But I've still decided I'm going to love her.
Sure.
I just made a decision. I'm going to love her. Has she always done what you like? No. Have you ever had an argument? Not. A big, very, occasionally. Yeah. Why? Because we're human.
Amen.
Because she's a woman. And I'm not, okay? So yeah, we have arguments. And you do too. But you know what? You'll never get to the point where you say, that's it! No, we decided we're going to stay in love.
Amen.
I just made a decision. I'm going to love you, and I am. You say, well, preacher, I'm just kidding. I just don't think I don't love them anymore. Well, then decide to love them again.
Amen.
Just decide. Oh, you preacher, you can't do that. Yes, you can if you want to. And some of you say, well, we're just going to live on love. Point this out to you. You can't live on love.
Yes, sir.
But you can live without a lot more.
Yes, sir.
If you love the way you should. Because love doesn't depend on a bunch of stuff. You know, you can live without a lot of things if you really love. If you really love. We moved in, my wife and I got married, and we lived for a year in an apartment. And then I had a house. I'd bought it before I got married, before even thinking about getting married, really. And I had that house, and I had kept it. I tried to sell it, couldn't sell it. I rented it, and we were married for a year. And then I told my wife, look, hey, it's ridiculous. The stupid rent over here keeps going up. Got a dinky little old apartment. I said, we own this house over here. We'll just move in. And I said, we won't live there long. We didn't. It was only 19 years. It's not very long, okay, in the whole scheme of things. And now I never intended to live there that long. She never wanted to live there that long. But you know, the reason I think she was willing to do it, she loved me.
Amen.
She loved me. I loved her. All right. Look, well, you can put up with a lot less if you really love. Mom and dad need to love each other. If you're going to, wisdom builds a house, wisdom furnishes that home with love. But let me say this, mom and dad, that means parents are going to love their children. They're going to love their children. The kind, now this is the kind of love, the Bible tells about it in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. It says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now listen, here's what that means. That means there's rules. I mean, just lay it out there for you, state. Now, wait a minute. If there's no relationship, the rules are going to lead to rebellion, all right? So the relationship's got to be there first. But you're to love your kids. Man, you're to love your children. But you're to be the kind of love that says, ah!
Amen.
You know, it's amazing to me. We stop our children when they're reaching for that hot pot. No, 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 hot, hot, hot.
Amen.
But boy, they get a little older and we think, oh, I can't, you know. I can't say no. I'll warp their personality. Some of kids' personality needs to be warped, okay? Listen, real love knows when to say no when you've got children. You lead them. Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Now, by the way, I'm just going to say this right now. I could preach a whole sermon, maybe a series of sermons on each point in this message. So I'm not going to dwell on this any longer, but real love sets some discipline down for children. They know, hey, there's boundaries. My kids had boundaries when my brother and I were at home. We had boundaries. My dad, mom, they said, here's what's going to be, and you don't have to agree. You don't have to obey unless you want to stay. Okay, unless you want to put your feet under this table to eat. All right, yeah, you're going to do these things. Now, honest, dad never said that. But we knew that. We knew that. I mean, he had a time. He said, be home by here. Be home by this time. Hey, nothing wrong with that. That's right. That's part of loving your kids. Hey, children, you're to love your parents. You're to love your parents. Well, they're not perfect. Look in the mirror. You aren't either. Well, they're not the ones I would have chose. God chose them for you. Love your parents. I'm preaching to a lot of adults. Can I say this to you? Love your parents.
Amen.
Love your parents.
Oh, yeah.
Love them. You said they're not here anymore. Then honor them.
Amen.
Honor them.
Yep.
But love your parents, okay? Hey, kids, can I say this to you? Love. Now, this is going to be a shock, so hold on. Love your siblings.
Come on. Yes, sir.
Love your brother and sister. Brothers and sisters, whatever, love them. That guy right there is my best friend. That guy right there, we've been friends for years. Now, we've had our times. We've thrown rocks at each other. We've spatted with each other, you know. But man, have we ever had good times because we loved each other. Boy, I could stand here and tell you hours about the good times we've had because we loved each other. I've watched other brothers and sisters fight, argue, fuss, fume, and I think you're wasting your family. You're wasting your family. What a shame. Hey, wisdom furnishes the home with love. With love. Fourth thing, I want you to see it, all right? Wisdom paints the home with faithful church attendance. Wisdom paints the home with faithful church attendance. Christian homes are in trouble because faithful church attendance is not a priority. Not a priority. We don't go. And we just, when it's convenient. Look, it's convenient. The day like today, some of you, when you were leaving home, you looked out, man, it's flooding. Convenient, I'll just stay here. Stay here. I just want to be honest with you. Last night is the first night. Two nights before, I didn't sleep good. I woke up at 4:30. Both those mornings. Friday morning, 4:30, I wake up. Now, some of y'all here are weird, and that's normal getting up time for you, all right? I just want to tell you, 4:30 is not normal getting up time for me, all right? I'd really like to sleep a little longer. I didn't get in bed till maybe 10 or 11, you know, and so maybe even 12, and I'd like to sleep a little longer, 4:30, wake up, can't go back to sleep. Friday morning, I got up, I went in there and got in my recliner, and I prayed a while, and, you know, After I'd prayed, I'm still awake, and I turned on the TV, and that put me to sleep. Just a little bit, but then it was time to get up, you know. Same way Saturday morning. Man, couldn't sleep. Last night, oh, man, sleeping good. Looked at the clock. I got to get up. It wasn't convenient. Hey, but faithful church attendance ought to be a priority. It'll help your home. There's no substitute for what the church can do for your home. I'm going to say this to you. You're married. There's no substitute for what church attendance can do for your marriage. You say, well, what? I can't explain it, but I can tell you if you'll just stick it out and stay in there, you'll be amazed what it'll do for you, all right? It will do amazing things. Can I remind you, the church was God's idea? No man said, hey, let's start this thing and we'll call it a church. And we'll have singing and we'll have preaching and we'll have a Sunday school Bible classes. Ooh, that'll be good. No, it was God's idea. The Lord Jesus Christ started the church when he was here on the earth. He started. I do not believe the church started on the day of Pentecost. I believe church started with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was here. He started it. He's the head of it. And on the day of Pentecost, the Bible plainly says it was added to. But the Lord started it. It's his idea. He started it. By the way, throw it out there for you. He commands us to go.
Amen.
He commands us to go. If you're saved, he commands us to go. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'll never understand folks who don't think they need it and yet claim to be saved. The crowd that says, well, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I don't know how many times I've heard knuckleheads say that. I want to say, and all you have to do is find that in the Bible and show it to me. Because I can find where it says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Hey, it commands us to go. Well, but we all know it's torture to be here, right? Quit twisting my arm. Take off the thumb screws. Hey, listen, it's not torture. Boy, what it does for us, it's here you find encouragement. It's here you find exhortation, all right? This is the place that you go to where folks encourage you. Man, you're having a tough week. You come to the house of God so somebody else can encourage you. Say, man, hang in there. Hang in there. It'll get better. It'll be better. Just don't give up. Stay in there. Yeah, that's where you go. That's where you go. Go to the bar and see how many people encourage you.
Amen.
Hey, listen, it's the house of God. It's the best place to find your friends. Best place to find your friends. Best place in the world to keep your children. For their fun, their fellowship, their friends, and even their fiancés, all right?
Amen.
Best place to find your husband or wife is in the house of God. I don't know how many times I've counseled with people having trouble in their marriage. And I usually, if it's people I'm not real familiar with, there have been times that I've looked at them and I said, well, hey, listen, tell me, where'd y'all meet? They kind of look at the floor, look at each other. They look at me and say, in a bar. Hey, you picked a winner. I'll tell you, it's not the best place to pick your husband or wife to be, all right? But boy, the house of God is. You said, preacher, I'm going to church. There's not anybody around. There's nobody there. Have you ever thought about praying, God, send somebody?
Amen.
God, send somebody.
Yes,
just send the person you want me to marry. You'll be a lot better off doing that than you will if you go looking. Because
right.
Some of us, we're pretty dumb. We don't pick real good, you know. But if you let the Lord get involved in it, he'll help you. He'll help you. Hey, wisdom. Wisdom lays the best foundation for your home. Wisdom will wall it in with the Bible. Wisdom will furnish your home with love. Wisdom will paint your home with faithful church attendance. Lastly, man, I'm going to say this to you. Wisdom roofs the home with prayer. Wisdom is going to roof the home with prayer. Prayer is the most neglected resource for the child of God. I'll tell you, when most people pray, I'm in a jam. I don't know what to do. I've got nobody else to turn to. God?
Yeah.
Maybe if you'd have turned to him, you wouldn't have gotten that position.
That's right.
If you'd turned to him a long time ago and you'd have prayed.
Amen.
You ought to pray about all those things you've done to get you in the jam you're in. But we don't do it. We wait until we have a tragedy. We wait until there's no place else to turn. We wait until I don't know anything else to do. I guess I'll pray. Hey, just as there's no substitute for church attendance, even so there's no substitute for prayer. To just daily pray. The Bible says it's the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that availeth much. Prayer helps us keep in touch with God. Prayer helps us keep in touch with God. Now remember, I said you wall your home in with the Bible, right? With the Word of God. You see, that's God speaking to you. I've got a cousin. He says, he doesn't go to church, by the way. And he says, the only thing I really miss is the singing. He said, but I pray. Now, I know my cousin. I can say this about him. He doesn't mind talking to God, but he doesn't want God talking to him. I'll tell you straight out. He doesn't mind talking to God. A lot of people like that. I don't mind telling you, God, what I want you to know, but I don't want to hear from you. See, that's why my cousin won't go to church. Don't let him kid you, all right? I know him. I know him real well. But what we need is God speaking to us. We wall our home in with the Word of God, but we put the roof on it with a prayer. We just pray. We spend time in prayer. It keeps us in touch with Him. It gives us the opportunity to make our requests known unto God. You know what? I got two kids. For a while, Lance was in Georgia and Arkansas, and my daughter, Louise, she was in Oklahoma City. They weren't here anymore. I've got on my phone, I've got a ringtone. When I hear ducks quacking in my pocket, I know it's my son calling. Okay, I know it's him on the phone. And when I hear this piano tune, I know it's my daughter calling. I'm going to tell you something. They're my kids. They're grown. But I still like to hear from them. I like the phone to ring. Dad, what you doing? Sitting here hoping you'd call. All right, no. I like to hear from them, man. Those of you who got kids, don't you like to hear from your kids still? I like to hear from them. Especially if it's not, hey, Dad, could you... No, I mean, just when they need to talk, they don't just want to talk. Hey, what you need? Nothing. Just call to talk to you. Oh, what a blessing that is. What a blessing that is. But wait a minute. You're saved. You've got a Heavenly Father. I still believe He likes to hear from you. I still believe He likes to hear from you. And how good it is if you don't wait till you're in a jam. Lord, you got to help me. It's okay if you pray and you just kneel and say, you don't even have to kneel. But you just bow your head there and say, Lord, just want you to know I love you. Just want you to know I love you. Sure been good to me. Want to thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you've done. I can say, Lord, thank you that I haven't got that coronavirus. Amen. Lord, I appreciate you watching over me. I appreciate that. I thank you for your goodness to me. Listen, God likes to hear from you. You need to roof your home, and wisdom will roof that home with prayer. Hey, I want to ask you, who's building your home? Who's building your home? Who's putting it together? Why don't you get some wisdom involved, huh? Why don't you just decide I'm going to involve that wisdom? Is everybody in the house born again? Is everybody at home born again? Hey, how's your relationship with the one that saved you? How's your relationship with Him? Is it just on your terms? How's your relationship with Him? How about that, Is the Bible a familiar book in your home? Not just as a centerpiece, but one that's read and used and observed and followed? How about it? Does love reign at your place? Does love reign at your place? I want to say this. I remember when our kids were coming up, we'd have group hugs. We'd all get in, we'd together. Come on, we're going to all hug. We'd hug each other. I still like to do that. I still like to do that. I want love to reign in my home. I want it to be there. Hey, Dad, do you lead your home to the house of God? Do you? Hey, the rest of the folks in the home, are you willing to follow? How's your prayer life? Boy, I'll be honest with you. I almost feel like I've preached. Just spraying it everywhere. Like I say, could preach a message on any one of these points easy. But hey, is wisdom building your home? Are you using wisdom, or are you just kind of haphazardly throwing it together? Somewhere, somehow, in some place in the message, you needed something. What did you need today? What will you do about it? What will you do about it? Listen, if you need to be born again, this is a great time to get born again. Great time. If you need to work on that relationship with the Lord, this is a great time to do it. Great time to do it. Hey, sometimes it's just a great time to walk the aisle and get before God and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. Hey, what do you need? Wisdom building your house? Or have you decided, I can do it? Who's building it? Heavenly Father, I pray now that you'd just speak to us. Lord, help us to be honest with ourselves and honest with you. Lord, if there's somebody here this morning that's never been born again, would you bring conviction, Lord, unlike anything? Lord, I could never do it, but you can. Would you bring that conviction that'll not let them rest until they get saved? Lord, if there's folks that need to work on that love relationship, would you help them to do it? Folks need to work on their relationship with you. They've not used a lot of wisdom in building their house. Lord, you can change it, and they could change that today. Lord, speak to hearts. Help people to make the decisions today they need to make. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand, please, this morning? We're going to sing a verse of invitation, just as I am, without one plea. Listen, if you need to come, the altar's open, all right? Altar's open. Steps, here you come, pray. Maybe you can't kneel. Come sit on one of these front pews. And just God let him work. Would you do it? God speaking to you, would you come this morning while we sing? Come on. Just as I